you. I've got. Morning, everybody.
Morning.
It's good to be here this morning. See all those smiling faces everywhere? Lovely. Thank you for the music this morning, the music group. It was really spot on. And thank you, Teresa, for arranging the songs. Excellent. I noticed one of the songs that had the word celebrate. And it's one of the things I wanted to start with this morning. I want to be here and I want us all to celebrate God as a great God, mighty God, the great King. He's with us forever. Forever He is with us. And this morning we just want to raise His name and believe completely and trust His word and honor His word this morning. He is the conqueror. He has conquered the enemy. Well and truly, forever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I will read our reading. It's from Romans. I'm very sorry that I kind of hold the reading when I come to preach. It's just that it becomes more part of me when I start giving the message, and it just helps. Just to move into the message as we go along. Okay, it's from Romans chapter 8, and we're starting from verse 28. We know that in all things God works for good with those who love Him, those whom He has called according to His purpose, those whom God had already chosen. He also set apart to become like His Son, so that the Son would be the first among many brothers. And so those whom God set apart He called, and those He called He put right with Himself, and He shared His glory with them. In view of all this, what can we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? Certainly not God, who did not even keep back His own Son, but offered Him for us all. He gave us His Son. Will He not also freely give us all things? Who will accuse God's chosen people? God Himself declares them not guilty. Who then will condemn them? Not Christ Jesus, who died, or rather, who was raised to life and is at the right-hand side of God, pleading with Him for us. Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble do it, or hardship, or persecution, or hunger, or poverty, or danger, or death? As the Scripture says, for your sake, we are in danger of death at all times. We are treated like sheep that are going to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we have complete victory through Him who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from His love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor other heavenly rulers or powers, neither the present nor the future, neither the world above nor the world below. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
A great passage from God's Word. And I'm just going to touch on a few things in that passage before I just move into some of my notes. Just to confirm in our own hearts what God really has done for us. In verse 29, God had already chosen. He has set us apart. Now, I know I've mentioned this in the past before about God choosing us right from the very beginning of time, right before the creation of the earth. God chose us. How come he chose us? Because he foreknew us. He knew that one day we would be convinced about his truth, that we would believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God saw that, and on that basis, he chose us. Not anything that we've done good at all, but on that basis of us choosing his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? From the very beginning of time, from the beginning, before the earth was formed, God chose us. What an amazing gift that God has given us. Sometimes, you know, we read these words and we pass over them quite quickly and we don't take the full intent and depth of these words into our hearts and then into our minds. But that is something that, you know, I could dwell on for long, long, long time, long moments during a day, just thinking that God chose me. Hallelujah. Praise God. He gave us his Son. Will he not also freely give us all things? God is just waiting to give us everything that he has. God is so willing, so eager to bless us, to just freely give. Sometimes we find it hard in our lives because we feel that God is a bit close to us. We just don't feel close to him. We struggle, and the struggle can go on for days, weeks, months sometimes, and even years. Even the greatest of Christians have struggled in their lives and gone through really tough times, times when they've been depressed. Even the greatest names, for 2 years or more, they've gone through a time of depression. But God has brought them out of it. We don't know the reasons why God does this to us. Well, not does this to us, but allows this to happen. But God knows the best way for us. He knows the best path. And as we began that reason, we read, we know that in all things God works for good for those who love him. And so we've got to believe that he is working for good in our lives for those who do love him. Now in all these things, we go down much further here, we have complete victory. Now, I'm just going to go to F.F. Bruce's commentary on Romans. And he gets from the Greek. The Greek word is hupernikomen. And it translates, we are super conquerors. We are super conquerors. So we have got God's Spirit within us. And through God's Spirit working in us, we are more than conquerors. We are victorious people. And we don't have to fear the enemy at all. We read in the things here, know all these things, we have complete victory through him. And nothing can separate us from his love. Now it mentions here, neither death nor life, neither angels nor other heavenly rulers or powers. Now just to clear what that means there specifically, I'm going to get F.F. Bruce again. And it makes it very clear that we're talking about the enemy there, Satan himself. The principalities and powers, he says here, are the forces of evil in the universe, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, which is mentioned in Ephesians 6:12. So we are completely safe from Satan's powers. We do not have to worry about Satan. Now, I remember about 2 or 3 weeks ago, Milo, two of his sermons following each Sunday, said the same thing. Folks, he said, we do not have to worry about Satan. We do not. He cannot harm us, were his words. Satan cannot harm us. And that is so true. That is so true. We are safe from him. He cannot possess us. Once we become a Christian, Satan cannot have entry into us. I'm just going to go back to my notes here. I was interested last Sunday to hear the YWAM folk, and the girl that spoke, she said that she thought she'd been a Christian for many years. She grew up in a Christian family and went to youth club and did all the activities that Christians do. But after quite a few years, she realized that she wasn't a Christian at all. She hadn't taken that step of personally asking Jesus Christ into her life. And at that stage of her life, she did that. And everything changed. She had a real experience of God in her life. And that, of course, is the condition upon which we rest on God's promises. That condition is that we have been born again into his kingdom. Otherwise, we cannot enjoy his privileges. And we've discovered through our life in the ministry and other places that there have been quite a few people who have just gone along in their Christian life, believing that they do belong to Christ, but have come to a realization that they haven't taken that personal step with him. That they haven't actually said to the Lord, Lord, forgive my sins. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you are Jesus Christ. Please come into my life. And it's simple, not complicated, is it? Very simple. And at that moment of time, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, which comes upon us. So we want to celebrate that fact this morning. We have complete victory. I'm just going to look at some of these verses that really reinforce our position with Christ. In Ephesians 1:13, it says, you believed in Christ. See, you believed in Christ. And God put his stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit. So the moment we believed in Christ, God gave us his Holy Spirit and his stamp of ownership. Now, God, when I was preparing for today, one particular night, about 3 nights ago maybe, God was saying over and over again, my ownership is upon you. Ownership, my ownership. I have given you my ownership. I own you. And he just kept on saying these words to impress that God owns us. God has given his Holy Spirit and he has put the stamp of ownership upon us at that moment of time in our lives. Now, God doesn't do anything in half measures. He's not part owner of us, is he? He owns us fully. And we've got to believe that. We've got to trust that. That Satan cannot have right of entry into our temples, into our hearts, into our lives. Because why? God owns us. God isn't going to say to a demon or something like that, oh, are you here? Are you going to stay with me? What a laugh. No chance, no chance. God owns us. And 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22, it is God himself who makes us together with you, sure of our life and union with Christ. And it says again, it is God himself who has set us apart. God himself, who has placed his mark of ownership upon us. Again, that word. Why would Paul keep repeating that word? Because he wants us to know that he has placed his mark of ownership upon us. We are his. We belong to God. Nobody else. Nobody else have right of entry to us at all. Who has placed his mark of ownership upon us and who has given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the guarantee of all that he has in store for us. The guarantee. God's word is to be trusted, isn't it? It's to be honored by trusting his word. And Ephesians 4:30, and do not make God's Holy Spirit sad, for the Spirit is God's mark of ownership on you. He's repeated it again. Paul has repeated it three, and there are other verses too that has that word ownership upon us. But he repeats that over and over again. It must mean something, mustn't it? If he does repeat it. It's not just something that's glibly mentioned and he passes on to something else. It is something very dominant and prominent in his preaching. For the Spirit is God's mark of ownership on you. Second Corinthians 5:17. When anyone is joined to Christ, he is a new being. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is done by God. There is one thing that's not mentioned in Romans, in that passage which I've just read, where we are in danger. And it's not through these things that we read in Romans, but it's ourselves that can alter the course of that love. In Colossians 2:20, we read, you have died with Christ and are, listen, set free from the ruling spirits of the universe. Okay? You have died with Christ, you've become a Christian, and you are set free from the ruling spirits of the universe. So at that point of time in our lives, the ruling spirits, if they're there, have to go. That's what God's word just said, didn't it? I'll read it again. And we are set free from the ruling spirits of the universe when we have died with Christ and been born again. I just want to mention a couple of examples or from real life in China, in Africa, and Indonesia. All these events took place. But in China, in this village where demons were quite active, put it that way, there was lots of problems and troubles. Of course there would be in a village like that. And this one particular person had a demon in him. But a chap from a neighbouring village gave him the New Testament to read. And this chap started to read the New Testament and he became convinced of God's truth, that God loved him, that God could change him, that God could deliver him. Now this chap that gave him the New Testament was still over in the other village. And I don't want to kind of make people feel funny about this, but this is what's happened. These are real live instances that have happened. The demon saw what was happening and he called out, if he becomes a Christian and I see that he is determined to, I cannot stay. I must go. And another person listening nearby said, oh, why? Because when he becomes a Christian, the Almighty God comes and takes up residence, the creator of the universe. And he disappeared. There wasn't anyone else there to deliver him, but because he became a Christian at that moment, God came in and the demon had to go. That's an actual happening. And these things also are recorded in Africa and Indonesia. Once a person becomes a Christian, that's it. The demons must go. One of the missionaries came back to New Zealand and spoke at a service and told us about a chap who was under the influence of a witch doctor, and he had a demon, and the witch doctor, one day, he saw that this chap had broken his arm, and so the witch doctor healed his broken arm. It actually came together. This man, again, he became very much interested in God's word through other people, and one day he became a Christian. His arm broke. I think I've told one or two people here about this incident. His arm broke, and so Satan's work was undone. And Satan had to go at that moment because he became a Christian. The Christians that were there prayed for him, and his arm was restored, healed again. But this is just a demonstration of God in action. That's all why I'm mentioning this to you this morning. I'm not trying to scare anyone or anything like that. It's just what has happened in some of these countries where God is so treasured and loved. Once a person becomes a Christian, they truly become a Christian. And Satan can't stay. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but God has brought you into union with Christ Jesus, and God has made Christ to be our wisdom. By him we are put right with God. We become God's holy people and to set free. We are God's holy people. 1 Corinthians 6:19, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? God's temple. God's not going to let anything come into his holy temple, is he? God owns us. We are his temple. We are safe and secure. Absolutely safe and secure. The Holy Spirit who lives in you and who was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourselves, but to God. We don't belong to ourselves. God owns us. And thank God for that, because we have his complete protection in our lives. We don't have to fear anything. But I did mention there is one thing about people who abandon their faith. And this is mentioned in the Bible, so we've got to just cover that, just as a warning. In Hebrews 4 to 6, for how can those who abandon their faith be brought back to repent again? They were once in God's light. Listen to this. They were once in God's light. They tasted heaven's gift and received their share of the Holy Spirit. They knew from experience that God's word is good, and they felt the powers of the coming age, and then they abandoned their faith. It is impossible to bring them back to repent again, because they are again crucifying the Son of God and exposing him to public shame. That is the only time that we are in danger, is that we say to God, no, God, I don't want you anymore. That's it. I'm going back. 1 Timothy 4:1, a very important verse, this one. The Spirit says clearly, Paul says, that some people will abandon their faith in the latter times. They will, now listen to this, they will obey lying spirits and follow the teachings of demons. They will abandon their faith. Okay, let's move on. But it says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, how can light and darkness live together? No, can't. And 15, verse 15. How can Christ and the devil agree? No way. No way. It's laughable. For, and verse 16, for we are the temple of the living God. No way. We are safe and secure. Absolutely. God has built a fortress around us. So, as Christians, we should just be aware of these things and don't become fascinated with things of this nature. God, Satan is very wily. He's an angel of light, isn't it? The Bible says that. And he roams around like a caged lion or a roaming lion. So we've got to be careful, you know, just what we do and where we go and what we listen to. Colossians 2:4, I tell you then, do not let anyone deceive you with false arguments, no matter how good they seem to be. And Timothy 4:2-3, I solemnly urge you to preach the message, to insist upon proclaiming it, whether the time is right or not, to convince, reproach, and encourage as you teach with all patience. The time will come when people will not listen to sound doctrine, but will follow their own desires and will collect for themselves more and more teachers who will tell them what they are itching to hear. Okay. What we do fight against in our lives is our human nature, isn't it? Whoops, my glasses. And that's something constantly that's going on all the time in our lives. New Testament is very clear about this. In Romans 7, we read about Paul's conflict with between the spirit and human nature. It's going on all the time. And Paul says, you know, the things that I want to do sometimes I can't do, or I'm unable to do, and the things that I blah, blah, blah. You know the passage. And so we've got to know that this is nothing to do with Satan. This is something of our past life, which God is working on. And we've got loads of verses of how God is working in our life daily, renewing our spirit, it says daily as well, but working in our lives. And the Holy Spirit and Jesus pleading with God on our behalf. This is happening every day of our lives. Maybe we don't always notice what's happening, but in time, the watering and the feeding of God in our lives shows the fruit. And we come out of whatever situation we may find ourselves in. I've mentioned as well a couple of times about demonstration of this minister. He said, take a clear bottle, and this represents our outward life, body, and take some soft wire and push it in, keep pushing it into the bottle until the bottle's full. And the bottle's full with twisted wire. Okay, we become a Christian, smash. Satan's hold, or the sinner's hold on us, is broken completely. But what is left is the shape of the wire. And that's all the experiences of life that has gone into our lives, the bad things, the good things, the words that we may have spoken in haste to somebody, whatever, unforgiveness, all these things that we, you know, perhaps regret in our life. And sometimes we get habitual things that keep cropping up in our lives which we want to get rid of. And these things are still there. Our human nature is still there. And so what the minister was saying, God starts to pull the wire and to straighten out our lives. And it's a process because it takes time. But eventually, God straightens all the wire out. God will, when we go to meet him, have straightened everything out when we go to be with him. So we do have a struggle, but it's nothing to do with Satan. That is just our human nature, which is battling against the Spirit. It's just something that's there, which we all know crops up from time to time as Christians in our lives. Things we say, things we do, unfortunately. And we confess our sin to God immediately. We say, Lord, I'm sorry for that. I really am. And God keeps working. He doesn't get discouraged at all. God just keeps working on us. He just keeps going all the time. Because He is faithful, isn't He? God is absolutely faithful. So, we celebrate this morning. And whoever wants to boast must boast of what the Lord has done. The Lord is good. The Lord is great. 1 Corinthians 1:8. He will keep you firm to the end, so that you will be faultless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is to be trusted. God is to be trusted. His word is to be trusted. We do believe His word, don't we? We do? Then we must put it into practice, mustn't we? We must put it into practice. And in Ephesians 1, that one of my favorite passages in the New Testament. I'm not going to read it, but I'm just bringing out the gifts that God has given us in that passage. It's amazing. Ephesians 1, before the world was made, if we go back to the thing that we read in Romans again, God had already chosen us to be His through our union with Christ. He chose us. Number one gift in Ephesians 1, He chose us. Hold on to that. He chose you. Praise God. 2, the gift of His Son. The gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. 3, our sins are forgiven. 3 amazing gifts. The gift of our Lord Jesus Christ into our lives. And our sins are forgiven. Number 3. 4, the stamp. Here we go again. The stamp of ownership by giving us the Holy Spirit. Stamp of ownership on our life. It's like the seal they put in used to put in a passport. I don't think they do that anymore. But they used to put some wax on the relevant page, and there was a big thing that you put over it, and it was stamped on the warm wax, and it was imprinted there. No way can you get that off. And that's God's stamp of ownership upon us. No way can that be taken away. And this, I won't tell you the verse, but anyway, point 5 in the same chapter of Ephesians, and how very great is His power at work in us who believe. This power working in us is the same as the mighty strength which He used when He raised Christ from death. Isn't that amazing? The same power that we have in us is the same power which raised Christ from death. This is God's word. It is mind-blowing promises from God, isn't it, really? But praise be to God. Praise be to God this morning that God is everything that we'll ever, 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 ever need in our lives. Trust Him, honour Him, and try and get through these tough passages in our life by believing Him. One day, this time will pass. God will honour us. He will get us through us. He will. He's working every day. Every day He's working. He will not forget us. So to God be the glory. Thank you, Father, today that we can honour You, we can trust You, that we can believe completely in Your word and Your promises. Lord, we pray that You will bless us, and we know that You'll keep us. And if anyone here this morning has anything that is on their hearts, we pray that they will just feel free to speak to someone, one of the elders, someone they can trust about whatever it is on their hearts and minds. So again, Lord, we thank you for being here this morning and for blessing us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.